There once was a man named Seinfeld, whose words against woke caused a scene. Quantum Leap got the axe, leftist madness, perhaps, but only time will tell if the madness continues to be seen. Everybody, this is William Del Pilar, and this is the Red, White, and Rude podcast. So before I forget, or I start and then digress, obviously, if you are listening, you have found the podcast, so please share it. But for others who may have found us somewhere they're not sure where we originate from, you can find us and our podcast at grumblingsmedia.com. Not only this entertainment podcast, but our sports podcast and our political podcast. You can find us on YouTube and Rumble, as well as traditional outlets, Spotify, Pandora, Google, and Apple. And all of those are under the Grumblings Media profile. So it has been a while since I've done this show, and that's because, as I've already stated on other podcasts I am catching up on, I am working behind the scenes to build a podcast compound, as my partner Big John likes to call it. It is much tougher to find podcasters for a conservative company, website, project, whatever you want to call it. We also have libertarian here, or libertarianism here, but the yin and yang is obviously progressive versus conservative, and conservatism has been losing this battle since the turn of the century. We have lost this battle because George Bush was not a true conservative. And I am going to digress. You know what pisses me off about George Bush is all this credit and love he gets from the Republican Party. Oh, look at the Wounded Warriors Project. Well, the reason we have Wounded Warriors is because he sent our boys overseas to die in a needless war. And I am a conservative. I am a patriot. I served. My father served. All four of my siblings served. And we are very patriotic. But as an adult, I have come to question the hierarchy that we have in this country. And I now believe our government does send boys to go out and die simply to keep the military-industrial complex happy. I said it. And obviously, that's a different podcast, a political podcast. But that said, the reason I enjoy and I am doing a podcast on entertainment is that politics is downstream from pop culture. And what that means is, as our culture evolves, develops, changes, ooh, I have a hair here, evolves and changes, it flows downstream and affects our politics. And that's true. No ifs, ands, or buts. I mean, whether it's logically, through the studies, et cetera, et cetera. And as we move forward with our culture, we become more open and we become more compassionate. But there's always a tipping point. A tipping point is allowing potential pedophiles into a girl or young boy's bathroom. A tipping point is having prepubescent teens as well as toddlers be dragged to drag shows. An extreme tipping the line is seeing a massacre occur by terrorist group, and our side over here saying, we have to stop fighting. This is deeper than what you think. No, let me take a baseball bat, put barbed wire on it, shove it up your child's rectum, your wife's rectum, rip it in and out a few times, then proceed to rape her, and then continue your torture before leaving them there to die or just outright killing them. When you have that done to your son, daughter, or parents, then you talk to me, you piece of bleeps, about, let's take a step back, people. Let's send our kids to protest on campuses. This is a black and white issue. Anybody who doesn't see it that way, you're the problem. Yes, that is a tipping point. And that's part of the entertainment world. There's going to be a movie about some brave college campus that overcame the odds to lead these protests, which none of it's going to be true. Here's the problem with Hollywood. When they say based on a true story, it could be less than 1%. But if they bought the rights, named it properly, wrote it out with one speck of truth in it, they can say based on a true story. The other thing that pisses me off about Hollywood is how they steal, that's right, baby, steal the credit of actual writers. Alan Ball, for example, with the Suki Stackhouse series by Charlaine Harris, the vampires, she created that world. And that bleepo has the audacity to go have his show, True Blood, created by Alan Ball. No, he didn't create it. He adapted it. And it sickens me that that these writers, authors, or whoever sells the rights allows that to happen. But I guess when some of these companies, I'm sure Charlaine Harris was probably paid a few million dollars for the rights of the Suki Stackhouse series. She willingly gave that up. I would never do that as a creator, as an artist. To me, you betray your fellow creators and artists when you do that. You know, none of this is on my scheduled topics to talk about. I just couldn't resist. Oh, man. And my final story I want to tell is a lot of TV is being canceled. They come for one or two seasons. To see a TV show last from 4 to 6 years is phenomenal. To see one last past 8-10 years now in terms of being a cultural hit alongside with high TV ratings is literally unheard of. I mean, the only show, I'm sure there are others out there, 6 seasons, but you know, you get 500,000 people watching them, 1-2 million people watching them. That's not what I'm talking about. Those are shows that come and go. As a child, I used to watch the Christian Broadcasting Network after my mom went to work, and she was at, because she was on the graveyard shift. So sneak out, watch it. It was the only TV that late at night that actually had TV shows. So we were kind of stuck watching it. Remember, I'm a product of the 70s as a child. So I saw tons of great family-oriented shows. The Life of Joan was one, for example. Y'all have never heard of that. I never heard of that. I've never seen it since then. So there are literally probably millions. I'm going to say thousands, but maybe millions since the dawn of television and shows that have come and gone when you count radio movies and radio and television. They're kind of like tied together because we evolved from radio to television. Movies were always around and they are their own beast, their own, I don't want to say industry, with their own world unto itself. And so the only show I can think of right now like that is maybe Blue Bloods. And they're on their 14th year. And I think for money reasons, they're canceling it. I actually watch every show. And I love it. But even then, it's not like Friends or Seinfeld or Frasier or shows of that nature. So I remember I was 18. Working at the Biscuit Kitchen. If you're ever in Fayetteville, North Carolina, it's now called Vicky's Great Biscuits or something. Oh, the best biscuits, the best chicken salad. Oh, my God. It's only fast food. That and Bojangles. And Bojangles is drifting off because I visited a home a couple of times already the last few couple of years. And it's like once is enough. But that Biscuit Kitchen, if you're ever in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and I know who you are, military people living elsewhere right now, or when you join the military, check it out. But I worked there, and his name was Dennis. And he was pretty much a racist, you know. But his whole world was one of intellectual racism. He was a smart guy. He looked at a lot of things. Yes, smart guy working in the Biscuit Kitchen. Yes, we can, us working class, we can be smart people. And he refused to watch any television unless there were Black Americans and in non-traditional roles that you saw in 30s, 40s, and 50s. And at first, I didn't understand him. I was like, well, you're going to miss out on a lot of good movies. You know, racism had not affected me like as it had affected me. The racism I had seen was towards my family members. I mean, look at me. You know, I may be full-blown Latino. You know, my grandmother may be the exact Quintana what I am, but that's how it was. So I didn't understand it. Fast forward. Oh my God, I'm trying to count back. 30 years. Fast forward 30 years later, 35 years later, maybe. And I get it. I get it. I don't watch Netflix as much. In fact, I got so PO'd just the other night on Netflix when I saw Locked. The show was Locked. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, babe, we're going to cancel Netflix. And she tells me, honey, our phone service pays for it for free. And I'm like, well, I'm going to go find a better deal with the phone service and cancel that one and go to them. You know, we had our Netflix paid for completely. And then they changed this, you know, the tier. And the reason I am going to go look for another phone company. I learned in the 90s from an individual who actually laid out and built from the ground up the whole human resource section for the Mirage in Las Vegas. He said, these companies have no loyalty to you. It's about just numbers, numbers, numbers. You know, they're always rewarding the newer people. Never the older. Once they lock you in, they don't care. They'll toss you a few deals here. And sure enough, hey, you add an extra line. You get this. I don't want to add an extra line. You know? So, and because of that, I'm going to go search something out. And then I'll switch it back. Why? We keep our cell phone numbers. Y'all don't know who our carriers are. And that, so I will be doing that next week. Screw you, bleep phone company. But anyway, so the point I made, which I already said, but just to reiterate, he would not watch television shows unless they had strong black lead characters. And I now understand that. To each their own. To me, I don't care. I got my fill of Latino actors and actresses. You know, you give me in a political debate and I will be a Linskyite on the fact of how little we have Latinos on screen right now. Just because I'm like, don't throw that crap in my face. I can throw it right back, you know. But at the end of the day, I don't really care. I just want you good acting. But Netflix specifically, I'm just scrolling past over and over and over. Okay, 90-pound woman beats up 300-pound man. 100-pound woman beats up 200-pound man. 80-pound woman. Oh, I'm sorry. Female child kicks 280-pound guy in the gonads. He never sees it coming. She takes him down and escapes. You know, it's just I'm tired of that crap. I'm tired of having, you know, I am a male. I'm sorry. 99 out of 100 times, somebody my size is going to pummel the equivalent size in a woman. We see it in sports. I like my action heroes. I like my action movies, and that's what I look for. And because of political correctness, that's gone. And trust me, I love a strong lead woman. You know, Angela Jolie, I don't know what a man. You know, I'm not, as a Latino, look, I'm sorry, people. I'm not into the bones, and you put a couple of silicone breasts on them and say that's beautiful. I'm just not into those women. And growing up in the 80s, that's what we were was shoved down our throat. I did a paper on that in college, human sexuality, and quite a bit of research. And it was disgusting because women were, oh my gosh, what's the word I'm always saying? Indoctrinated into, you need to look this way. You need to look that way. You know, so I never cared for Angela Jolie, but she fit the role in Tomb Raider, in Wanted, and there was another one she did, a spy. She's a weirdo, to be quite honest, but she's a pretty good actress and was able to pull it off. So it's not that I don't like strong women. It's like I'm just being inundated. You know, it's like the worst of the lot was a trilogy, Dragon with the Tattoo, or the trilogy. And I went ahead and I bought it. Read the first one. I'm like, okay, I get it. You know, second one, I was getting sick of this little 90-pound girl beating up bikers and stuff. Maybe that was either the second or third one. And I just stopped. Enough. All right, Amazon, you got my $6. And what makes it worse is it was a world bestseller, that trilogy. You know, but the reality eventually came out. You know, Hollywood got their paws on it. Hollywood and its wokeness. And if I'm correct, I believe both movies that they turned into, the Americanized one or the English, you know, English language ones, have tanked. I don't know how the actual foreign one that was done. Probably it's either Swiss or Swedish writer, and I think they did that. I didn't bother to watch those, but I have watched Swedish movies, and they're pretty good, some of them, you know. So to each their own, I get it. You know, that's the era we live in, and it's because we're woke. We are as woke can be. You know, minorities talk about cultural appropriation is the biggest, most stupid, most ignorant, most pathetic, most racist thing you can talk about. And I'm looking at all these movies, you know, historical Latino or white characters now being black, or Latino characters turned black, or you know, et cetera, et cetera. And it doesn't bother me if it's good acting, but the hypocrisy again. I'm gonna have a topic in my political show all about the stupidity, the bigotry, and the racism that is called cultural appropriation. You want war? Then think cultural appropriation as an actual part of our culture. Yeah. See how quickly we go to war based off of skin color and culture. It's the worst thing that you can think of. But you see all this crap in these shows, in these movies. And I now see not an attempt to change, because the attempt to change was I look at Dave Chappelle, Ricky Gervais, now Chris Rock, on television Greg Gutfeld. I don't think he's all that funny, but you know, he's pulling it off. And with the newer generation, Matt Rife, oh man, and is he getting a lot of lip from his own generation? Because he may not say it, but he's a conservative. He talks about his relationship with his grandfather, and you can tell that's had an impact. Just based off his grandfather's age, what he talks about, yeah, his grandfather was conservative. So, in talking about conservatives and comedy, it's not necessarily conservatives or in comedy that are pushing the envelope. They try to cancel everybody. Even Jerry Seinfeld, you know, got pushback. I guess he's had enough. He turned 70 this week. That's right, 70 years old. Jerry Seinfeld was never my kind of shtick. Every New Yorker or East Coast big city urban type guy who lives there, they all love Seinfeld. You know, Seinfeld was almost canceled after the first season, you know, and then before it became a big comedy hit. I thought it was hit or miss, but I grew to enjoy Seinfeld. But he came out this week and said, on the death of comedy, this is the result of the extreme left, PC crap, and people worrying so much about offending other people. And the source of that is the New Yorker Radio Hour. He's gotten some pushback. It's been pathetic pushback, but he's gotten some pushback. But it doesn't matter. He is arguably one of the top tier, top, elitist individuals in terms of the comic world, in terms of respect, you know, in terms of other comics, you know, having their wet dream fantasy. They want to be Jerry Seinfeld. The man is probably so rich. I don't want to say he's wealthy, but probably so damn rich, probably well worth $100 million. That's, you know, that's every comic's dream. It's a tough industry. And the reason he says this, and I agree with him, you know, comedy is our outlet. We want to get, I mean, entertainment. We want to be entertained and get out of the real world for a short while. That's what movies were created for in the Depression age. Give it to leftists, give it to those cultists, all of a sudden say, no, William, that's not what movies were made for. They were made for me to express my artistic ability. No, they weren't, you moron. Oh, and the problem is, take Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy cracking on white people. I laughed along with it. You take every Latino and white comedian cracking on black people. I laughed with them too. That's all gone now. The only people you can crack on are Anglos, and the only people who crack on Anglos now are hardcore leftists who don't think highly of themselves. Well, you know, when you're a cuck, you're a cuck. Let's be honest, and that's what most of these leftists are, you know. And I do mean that. And the cuck isn't, I'm not talking about the man in the bedroom. I'm talking about the man who just doesn't stand up for anything, who when there's trouble runs away, you know, when there's issues to be said and he's in a position to say it, or it's his job to say it, you know, they hide behind somebody else, or no comment. I just had that issue today with somebody. I was so disappointed. I asked him to come and speak. Well, it was a divisive issue. I'm like, but you're a leader. This is your gig, your job. And a super nice guy. And I hope they eventually have him. But that really set me back. You know, I don't lose respect, but it's like a slap in the face because it's a reality check. People aren't like me. I don't say this to brag, and it hurts me to say it, but I could have been a multimillionaire. But I left two or three things on the table because I refused to cross that damn line. I just couldn't. And at times, you know, I'm like, oh, why, William, why? You know, I had a board member once just yell at me, William, why don't you just get on damn board? We want to flip this, sell it, and make our millions. Don't you want to be part of that? And I said, not the way you're doing it. And the way they wanted to do it was literally toss everybody else but themselves under the bus. And I was like, no, I will not do that. That is not who nor what I am. And I think Seinfeld, Chris Rock, and a bunch of other comics are seeing that now. Dave Chappelle and Ricky Gervais led the way. You have a chance to catch a show, watch them. Not that they need you. They're sold out wherever they go. But give yourself a treat and support the people who are supporting us. My partner, he's very static, meaning he reads something and that's who and what that person is. And God bless him. I have to point out, well, this, that. But he says Ricky Gervais is a liberal. I'm like, I don't care. I said he wasn't, but he is because he calls himself a liberal. But actually, he's not a liberal anymore. Liberals eventually become leftists, eventually become progressives, socialists, authoritarianism, communists, whatever you call them. They're okay with the few ruling over you as long as they're part of the few. Oh, man. My point is that people like Ricky Gervais and Dave Chappelle said, screw it. This is who and what I am. This is what I'm going to talk about. I am that type of person, not because I watch people on television, because of my mother. Man, my mother taught us right. That woman, God bless her, you know, Eve, she'd look down on Eve. He'd be like, oh, please forgive me. That's how saintly my mother can be. Of course, growing up was another story. You know, it's kind of like the once great Bill Cosby said in a show he did. I want to say it was the 70s or maybe early 80s, talking about his father, how everybody loved his father. And he eventually goes, I don't know who you're looking at. That's just an old man doing nice things to try to get into heaven. I'm like, that's my mom now. I'm kidding, Mom. I love you. You know, but back to Seinfeld. He's absolutely right. When you're so sensitive, you can't be made fun of, but you're okay with making fun of others. You're either a bigot or a racist, or probably both. But it's starting to change with Ricky Gervais, you know, Dave Chappelle. They initiated it. Seinfeld's finally come aboard. And he's been off and on the last few years, but that statement alone said it. Matt Rife right now is getting political hell from he's a late 20s guy, self-made. See, here's the thing about entertainers and political individuals who gain relevance. If somebody makes you, if your fame is based on the help of the government, the mainstream media, or the studios, they can destroy you quite easily. The ones they can't are the ones who are self-made. Matt Rife, he did everything on his own. Lord, God, Lord knows, I wish I could interview the kid. He inspires me. He inspired a man 30 years older who I have had success. He inspires me because he's going against the grain. I will tell you this, and people just ignore it, don't know it. It's not taught in history, but 10% of the colonists supported the Revolutionary War before it started. At its height, only 45% supported it. There was never over 50% of support for the Revolutionary War. So what does that mean? It means when change comes, when revolutions happen, when crisis is at hand and you need actual true leadership, there aren't a lot of those individuals around. And it's cost me. But I'll say this, and it's corny, I know, because we don't know until we die. But when I face my maker and he looks me in the eye, that's right. In my mind, it's a he. If it's a she in your life, God bless you, more power to you. But in mine, it's a he. So when I face my maker and he looks at me and tells me, speak, I'm going to say, God, I can look in the mirror and know I never tried to screw anybody over. I am no saint, but I never purposely tried to hurt someone. Well, that's not true. I never purposely tried to hurt someone innocent. I never tried to throw somebody under the bus to get ahead. In fact, I left money on the table from when I sold my company, and I took care of people who I had made promises to, people who won't talk to me anymore. Again, I'm not a saint, but there's something to be said about keeping your integrity. And that's what allows me to puff my chest out when I do get righteous. I'm no saint, but I know when I've had that line right there at my toes, I won't cross it when it comes to my values. And it's hurt me dearly. But people, that's what I aspire to continue to be. And that's what I hope you would try to be. Sadly, human nature, we are survivalists. So too many people will sit there and toss that aside. And then they'll rationalize it away. It was either him or me or her or I or whatever. So Seinfeld is the latest law. And that latest law just signifies another power player is realizing what the hell is happening. It's terrible in the movies, it's terrible in television. The comedy genre seems to be evolving and moving ahead and leading the way. Oh, and let me not forget Jeff Dunham. He is my favorite comic. The guy's a creative genius. If you're not into puppets, then don't watch him. But he does a little bit of stand-up before he gets into the puppets, and it is hilarious. God bless that guy because he did something unique. I'm sure there were other. We've seen it in the past, old films. But as far as since the 70s, maybe, I can't think of another comic who used a ventriloquism act since then. And he's the only one I can think of, and he's phenomenal, phenomenal. And Seinfeld right now is doing a movie called Unfrosted, the Pop-Tart Story. I'm not gonna watch. It sounds like garbage to me. And Seinfeld, he's just doing what he wants now because he has what, this is a term, forgive me for those who don't like to hear that word, but there's a term I see going around with a lot of people who have made it, and some of them are conservatives. Seinfeld has what Clay Travis, the creator and former owner of OutKick, always says. Fuck you money, meaning he can live his life and do whatever the bleep he wants, so he doesn't have to follow the political correctness. And I understand a lot of people do, but you're cowards. You are. What are you teaching your kids? How to be a coward? At your core, at your heart, you're a coward. I don't care who you are. I will not look down at you. I will not. I will remain friends. But I will always view you as a coward because when everything hits a fan, I know you may not have my back because of your nature. Doesn't mean we can't be friends, and I accept you because of who you are. And at the end of that acceptance, in the back of my head, I know I won't be able to trust you in a foxhole. I no longer give of myself to those people. I just don't. It's not worth my time, not worth my effort. Neither should it be yours. So, let's applaud Jerry Seinfeld for calling out the extreme left. Wokeness is killing comedy. And I got some of these points off a website called bleedingfool.com. It's a pretty good website. Pretty damn good website. I enjoy it. I check out some of their podcasts too. But Seinfeld is currently right. I hope he keeps up the fight. I hope he helps lead the way. I hope he inspires younger comics like more Matt Rife's. I hope on television, Greg Gutfeld keeps going. But the problem with Greg Gutfeld, he's on Fox. So he's kind of like his own self-contained world. Support Jeff Dunham. I just saw his Valentine show special on Paramount Plus. Check it out. He is just plain funny. All right, let's move on. So, a show that I dearly loved in its first incarnation was canceled after season two. It should have been canceled after season one. I mean, let's just be honest here. You know, that's when it should have been canceled. I'm looking for the ratings here, and it looks like I have season one ratings only. Well, Quantum Leap was a show about an individual, a scientist, who gets stuck, literally frog leaping into the past. You know, one episode he's playing the 1960s black man in the struggle. Another episode he's playing a woman with her own issues. He plays a kid, a jock. You know, he played everybody. This was a show done in the 80s, and it was sad because it brought us issues of that era, which kind of was done in an actual correct way. What I mean by done in a correct way is it showed it from a compassionate viewpoint. It wasn't that there was blame to go around for Scott Bakula, Bakula, Bakula. I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but he was a star of the original Quantum Leap, and he was that's technically wasn't his era. So and because of that, because of that, I believe you don't put the sins of the father on the son. These generations since the civil rights have evolved. Every generation is much less racist. Racism is actually less than is in single digits. That's why there's been over 400 race hoaxes. That's right, over 400 race hoaxes from, I want to say, 2010 to 2016 or 17 when the study was done in the book I'm reading. So Scott Bakula would jump and jump and jump, and they were very compassionate stories. It made you think about who you were, wherever you were, and about people of color and the trials and tribulations they had to go through. And it wasn't just Black Americans, Asian Americans, Latinos, women. The show tackled it all with compassion, and it was canceled after four or five seasons, and it ended on a hangover, on a cliffhanger. You know, well, we didn't know what happened. We didn't know if Scott Bakula ever got home. He was able to see somebody from the present who could hologram in, so he was in communications with where he originated from and the lab, but he could never get home. So then they decided to do a reboot, and they talked about the reboot being woke. As soon as they did that, I attempted episode one, didn't go back. Then I saw the ratings for that season, and you know, I just had those ratings up, and I just switched them out. Oh my goodness, I'm an idiot sometimes. Here we go. So, I mean, their ratings for season one, look at this: 2.8 million, 2.6 million, 2.5 million, 2.4, 2.2, 2.3, 2.6, 2.3, 1.8, 2.1, 1.8, 2. These are millions. 2 million, 2.2 million, 2.3 million. I mean, it never got past the 4 million mark. In fact, it never got past the 3.5 million mark. It was a low rated show. But what I noticed in television, there was a bit of a trend for a couple years where they were renewing terrible shows that had no audience. And I think they may have been pressured. You know, people behind the scenes, they got to shove this woke crap down people. We're trying to change this culture. We're trying to evolve. No, they weren't. They were spreading hate and bigotry in different ways. Nobody bought it. Nobody wanted to watch it. And then they renewed it. You know, and I wasn't angry, but I was more like, what? But, you know, Netflix went through this phase too. You know, they were doing every crappy leftist crap out there, and nobody was watching it. They came out and they just canceled a whole swath of shows. In fact, Netflix did something incredibly intelligent in my eyes. What they did was doing more and more docuseries. I love those. And when they are well done, they're as good as any top hit series and viewers. There's something about human life, the reality of human life, because it shows us human nature. Nobody talks about human nature in politics, but that's what actually drives the world, is that human nature. That's what makes us do certain, make certain decisions. People don't like talking about it or admitting it, but that is what it is. And that's what these docuseries show. I'm not talking about real reality TV. That's nothing but scripted television. You think they catch those great angles on Kim Kardashian's tush just naturally? No, it's scripted. And I always talk about Kim Kardashian because the show was so popular at one point. And as a male, all my friends ever talked about was her butt. You know? And my take was, you know, their father was actually a very respected man in his time. He's the guy who got OJ off, built the Dream Team. You know, give credit to whoever you want, but he was a key and focal point, and that is why OJ Simpson got off. He brought the Dream Team together and was part of it. There were other more charismatic players like Johnny Cochran, but Kardashian was reason for that. So, but my point is, it's easy to use the Kardashians as an example because it's true. And everybody knows the Kardashians have achieved superstar status. Now, what superstar status is anybody in whatever field or industry you're in that transcends your industry. And when you say their name, everybody knows who they are. You know, the Kardashians are one of those. But the point, going back to Quantum Leap, it was a terrible show. It was purposely mixed in. There was a show on Netflix, Cowboy Bebop. I was so excited for the live action. The live action was perfect in terms of how they mimicked exactly the scenes from the cartoon. However, it was boring. It was bland. It was terrible. Sets and the effects were Oscar worthy, but the actual show was terrible. It was odd because there were certain scenes you saw, and you're like, man, that's just like a cartoon. Cowboy Bebop is an adult manga. It's an adult cartoon, adult themes, adult stories, and it's comedic. I watched it when I was a young adult, you could say, and I loved it to death. I couldn't get past episode one. I watched episode one to the end. I was like, ugh. I turned on episode two and I fell asleep literally, because when I watch these shows, it's after the better half has gone to bed, after I finish off work. I mean, it's approaching it's late in the night right now, so I'll get off and I'll go relax and I'll watch something. But it was just boring, you know. So these woke shows and A&E has a couple of big time woke shows that are doing terrible in the ratings, and they are costing them an arm and a leg. So anyway, Quantum Leap was renewed. It's season two ratings. I'm sure we're just as bad, and we're going to find out. It's season two ratings, 2.9 million, the season two opener. And that's usually when you're going to get the most viewers, that or like a cliffhanger at the end. So 2.9 drops to 2.6 million, 2.7 million, 2.5, 2.9, 3 million, 2.5, 2.6 million. And then it collapsed. 1.7 million, 1.6 million, 1.4 million, 1.4 million, or 1.3 million, 1.4 million, 1.4 million. They had no choice but to cancel it. I would suspect in October, maybe it was on Wednesdays, I don't know, maybe something let in. I have no clue. But that's a massive drop. Something happened. Oh, they changed nights is what happened. They changed it from Wednesday to Tuesday. That's usually the death knell for a show. And the reason they change a TV show's night is the Quantum Leap was losing too much of the lead in from the show before it. And they do that. You know, they're like, hey, we got this great show here with 10 zillion. And when you come on, it's dropping to 2 million. So they'll pop in a different show to follow the hit show, hoping it'll gain more traction. You know, sometimes they take a hit show and they move it around. I think Frasier eventually was moved around to the end, but it still did very decent ratings, you know. But Quantum Leap proved it was truly a terrible, weak show. You know, 1.7 million, 1.6 million, 1.3 million, 1.4 million, 1.4 million. And they finally canceled it. And they finally canceled it. Thank goodness. I'm tired of wokeness. I want to be entertained. And if you can entertain me showing diversity, God bless you. It's not why I want to be entertained, but if you can do it, hey, I love it. Growing up, I said this the other night on Fired Up, my political podcast. Please check it out. I have a great episode on that about why I went from liberal savior to conservative Latino. But my gang growing up, two Asians, one or two Lumbee, depending who's hanging, a black person, myself a Latino, and we had a white guy. Other people came in and out of various cultures, but that was us growing up. So I don't care. I am all for diversity. I just don't want forced diversity that looks like affirmative action. And y'all know what I'm talking about. People being hired not because they're qualified, but because of their skin color or culture. So Quantum Leap deserved to be canceled. Not because it was a bad show, that alone is the reason, but because they were trying to force woke crap down our throat. And I'm kind of tired of progressives saying white people are bad, white people are bad. You know, I'm very light skinned. That's what I say, because I guess technically I'm not considered white, or for legal reasons, I'm not considered white, you know, because I'm Latino, Hispanic, and I am full blooded Latino. Let's get that straight. Yeah. So, and I'm tired of that. And that's why a lot of these Marvel Comics Universe movies are tanking. You know, I think the Deadpool and Wolverine will be Marvel's first big hit, and that comes out July 26th. We'll be talking about that. You know, but you've got to look at television because there's so much out there, and limit yourself because it's a lot of crap out there. It's a lot of bad writers out there. I firmly believe. I didn't lose my train of thought. I'm just thinking. I just firmly believe eventually Hollywood's going to have to wake up. Eventually the shareholders are gonna have to wake up. We've seen a board battle over at Disney that the leftist swine won, you know, but the battle ensued. There's likely to be another battle in the next couple of years if they don't start making money. You know, so you're seeing those type of actions. Netflix, they're a cash business. What I mean by cash is they're subscription based. That's their whole model. How many subscribers? I'm sure they got other deals in place behind the scenes, business deals, things of that nature, like everybody else. But a massive chunk comes through subscriptions, and they're one of the unique outliers. They own the world market on it. They are arguably, I say arguably because I can't remember, there may be another one, but if I remember correctly, the only streaming service who's generating gobs of profit. You know, they're kind of like the Southwest of the streaming industry. Southwest for many years was the only airline making a profit. Why? Because they catered to the customer, the no-frills customer, the customer that oh, we're gonna serve you peanuts. And they don't tell you that they jack up the ticket price $20, you know, so Netflix in that sense financially smartened up. Hopefully we'll see others smartened up. But the truth of the matter is, you know, and the lead actor in Quantum Leap, you know, that's the other thing is I actually enjoy Raymond Lee as an actor. He's funny. But I'm not gonna watch your crap in this, Raymond, because you're not acting there to entertain me. You're acting to indoctrinate me. You may not realize it, but that's what the studios want. And that said, my friends, always realize, despite what I say, if you do find a show entertaining, watch it. But understand the reality and nuances they're putting in. But don't let what I'm saying keep you from watching good television. You know, I'm not a big fan of every aspect of the Will Trent television show, but I love it to death. You know, Animal Control is a dumb, silly, stupid, funny show, meaning it's so stupid, you laugh. You know, so for whatever reason, you may like television and that show, watch it. You know, don't deprive yourself. Look, I am a massive, a huge fan of Blue Bloods because it's a fantasy. I'd love the world to be that way in terms of how people treat each other and how every episode has a happy ending. You know, now don't get me wrong, the Reagans drive me nuts. It's a very elitist clan. They get away with everything we would never get away in real life. But my point is that's my escape. I love it to death. As corny as that sounds, chastise me. Hey, I went to George Carlin one of his final tour. I saw him in February. I think he died a few months later. You know, so it's not like. I mean, growing up, good times. I didn't like Archie and the Family. I loved Linda Lavin and her trials and tribulations as a single mom in Alice. You know, one life to live. You know, that struggle. I could relate to that struggle because of my mom. Now, don't get me wrong, my dad was there, but he was gone a lot with work. You know, and I could relate to it because I saw my mom not being a single mom, but helping out her whole family's side, so I could relate to the struggle, the poorness. So don't deprive yourself of good shows, but just realize what you are watching. So my friends, I've kind of been all over the place here today a little bit. Well, not all over the place, but I didn't really have a set topic to talk about because my research, I didn't have time to go into it. So these were from articles I had gathered that I've been wanting to talk to you about because I do think it's important. Do not watch shows that are there to indoctrinate, but if you do watch them, make sure you understand. Hell, if your kid's watching, teach him or her as to what's happening, why that's not true. Yes, son, that's an 80-pound woman beating up a 300-pound man. That's not true. But we like the movie, so just enjoy it, but just realize it's not true. That's all it takes. As a kid growing up, I knew those things. You know, I was a voracious reader as a child, so I was kind of self-taught in that. And your kids would do that too, except for the problem, everything they read and see tends to be woke. So parents, they need your guidance. They need you to be a parent. You need to stop letting the schools indoctrinate your kids and take actual time to spend with your kids versus wanting more overtime so you can upgrade from a Mercedes to a BMW. And I'm being serious. That's the type of stuff I see. So before I leave you, let me remind you, you can catch this podcast and previous podcasts at grumblingsmedia.com, along with our conservative and libertarian political podcast, along with our NBA, NFL, and soon to come in the next couple of weeks, MLB podcast. We are building a compound here, my friends, a compound. And before we go, I do want to pump up my last show, Fired Up, the political podcast. I talk about why I went from, again, being, and I say liberal savior, I'm being sarcastic by saying that, because every young kid, I want to save the world, I want to do good, you know, and I'm going to say this, but at that age, you don't even know how to wipe your tush properly, and yet you want to tell people how to live, you know, you want to tell people this is what makes the world better, you know, maybe make a bill, maybe pay buy a house or pay some rent first, you know, have some actual responsibilities first. So how I went from that person into a conservative Latino, and I am a cold, callous person at time. I am unvarnished truths, but I'm proud to say I do have a compassion to want to help, to want to do good things. When I sold the company, it was a godsend. I was able to help certain people who needed it at that time. And there's no greater joy than helping somebody. I know that sounds corny, but that's what I want to do with this whole project we're building here at Grumblings Media. I want to show you, hey, not all Latinos are bought and paid for by the Democratic plantation and are indoctrinated and just repeat what they're told. And I do mean that. I believe that with my own heart, because I was a former liberal sheep on the plantation. And if I can escape, so can you. So it's a great podcast. And I also did it for my critics. I've had family members, wait, man, you know, you're a little bit out there now. What happened? I go, what happened? I grew the bleep up. That's my own family at times. But anyway, check that out too. Fired Up, episode 21. Check it out. Share this. Red, White, and Rude. And once again, find us at grumblingsmedia.com. And until next time, my friends, I bid you adieu.